As we've been traveling through the Gospel of Matthew, learning from the stories of Jesus, as you've heard, I've also been completing a certification in spiritual direction, and I was encouraged to share about this journey with you all. When I left for my residency a couple weeks ago, I hadn't yet chosen a text for today, wanting to remain open to what the Spirit might show me. And as it turns out, my message today draws from the end of Matthew 11, the chapter that Pastor Thea Link shared with us last week, as well as from Psalm 31. And I'll also weave some of my learning over the past year into my message. Matthew's gospel shows us how Jesus is busy teaching, healing, and bringing good news, though his ministry has challenged and even disappointed the people with their expectations of the Messiah. Earlier in chapter 11, Jesus sent a message back to John the Baptist about what he had been up to. Then he denounced the towns that were not receptive to the message of repentance. And at the end of chapter 11, we get a glimpse of the deep relationship Jesus had with his Father. And the chapter ends with an invitation to all of us. Before I go to that part of Matthew 11, I'd like to read the Old Testament reading, Psalm 131, which you will find on page 969. The psalmist says, "My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore." And now the end of Matthew 11. Jesus is speaking and says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
"Come to me," Jesus said. "Come, you who have been working too hard, who are weary from the bad news pouring into your inboxes and social media feeds, who are just sick and tired. Come to me, you who are burdened by sorrow, weighed down by your own sin, carrying the heavy load of caring for others. Come to me, and I will give you rest." Jesus invites you to take on his yoke, and he will help share the load. Learn from him. See how gentle and humble he is. Look at how he talks with his Father in heaven. Watch how he trusts in his Father. Learn from Jesus. If you take his yoke on you and let Jesus share your burdens, you'll discover that rather than weighing you down, the way that Jesus shares his yoke might lighten your load. "Come to me," Jesus says, "and you will find rest for your soul." That invitation to come to Jesus and learn from him is part of what drew me into exploring spiritual direction. The seeds of this idea were planted in me about 3 or 4 years ago. Spiritual direction had been rather foreign and unfamiliar, but I kept hearing about it from friends, from another pastor in our classes who testified how helpful it had been for him, from things I was reading. The more I heard, the more interested I became. So about a year and a half ago, I reached out to the director of a program that had been highly recommended to me. We started a conversation about that program and the benefits of spiritual direction, and I embarked on this journey. I've been so grateful for the support of the Neyland Council, encouraging me to pursue this, helping with expenses, and giving me time to attend the residencies with my cohort last February and a couple weeks ago. There is so much I have learned and so much I could share, but I'm trying to keep it fairly short today with a few broad themes and just a couple vignettes weaving in Matthew 11 and Psalm 131. First of all, you might be wondering, what is spiritual direction anyway? A spiritual director serves as a companion to those who seek God's presence and who desire to center themselves on God's work in their lives. Through prayer and silence, we open ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We do a lot of listening, and actually, God is the true director. Some of these other definitions might be helpful for you. Spiritual companion, soul friend. Henry Nouwen says, the goal of spiritual direction is spiritual formation, the ever-increasing capacity to live a spiritual life from the heart. One of the authors I read, Ann Winchell Silver, said, two poor sinners sitting down together. I love that one. Richard Foster describes it as an interpersonal relationship in which we learn how to grow, live, and love in the spiritual life. And another author I read, Sue Pickering, called it a midwife to the soul, helping to birth something new. Henry Nouwen explains that a spiritual director is not a counselor or a therapist, but a friend of our soul who accompanies us on our spiritual journey with wise counsel and support, helping us to discern God's presence in the midst of our daily lives. As I've learned about becoming a spiritual director, I have done a lot of reading. Reading about contemplation and prayer, about spiritual development and stages of faith, about consolation and desolation and discernment. And I am learning new practices of prayer and listening. I confess I'm still a bit mystified by Celtic spirituality, by the desert fathers and mothers and their desire to be in the wilderness, and by other mystics. And I have discovered how hard it is to really be silent in God's presence. For distracting thoughts skitter around in my mind too much of the time when I try to quiet myself to be still and listen. I was on a two-day retreat last October at the marvelous Hermitage in Three Rivers. It's a lovely setting for reflection and walking in God's beautiful creation. But when I tried using the spiral labyrinth out in the fields, every time I stopped to pray, gnats pestered me, and I could not remain still while I was outdoors. So I found a quiet indoor chapel, and I read Into the Silent Land by Martin Laird. It felt like God's sense of humor when I read in Laird's book this quote from Augustine. God is saying, be still and see that I am God. But you refuse to be still. You are like Egyptians tormented by gnats. The tiniest of flies, always restless, flying about aimlessly, swarm at your eyes, giving no rest, just like the futile fantasies that swarm our minds.
Yep.
I was grateful that a little later in the day, a slight breeze came up and chased the gnats away, and I could sit still on this stump. Finally, I was able to enter God's rest for a bit and was better able to focus on talking with God in these woods. For 5 days last February and again this month, I was at the Montserrat Retreat Center in Texas with our wise director from CELA and other leaders and an enthusiastic cohort of fellow learners. Our days were packed with presentations, discussion, practicing direction, and worship. It was wonderful stuff. One of the important features of our residency, both last year and this year, was a 24-hour silence intended for us to take time with God, to walk with God in creation, to spend time in prayer, to write or draw, to sit quietly and listen for how God might be speaking to us. This year, one of the verses we read before entering our silence came from another translation of Psalm 131. It said, "I still my soul and make it quiet like a child with its mother. My soul is quieted within me. O child, wait upon the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." Well, Psalm 131 is one of my favorite psalms. And I have often thought of it as I try to enter into quiet meditation, to still my racing thoughts, to humble myself in God's presence. Charles Spurgeon once said that Psalm 131 is one of the shortest psalms to read, but one of the longest to learn. And I have found that to be true. It really is a challenge to quiet ourselves, to be content in the Lord like a child at rest. Psalm 131 reminds us to have our hearts in the right place, not proud or haughty, to come with souls that are still, trusting in the Lord. It says we need to become like a weaned child, a child who is learning independence, no longer needing her mother for nourishment, yet who chooses to come and sit quietly in her mother's lap. And the Lord wants us to put our hope and trust in Him, to recognize that all good things come from His fatherly hand, from God's mothering heart. So, Psalm 131 was one text rumbling in my heart as I sat in my room for a while. But I had trouble quieting myself. So I bundled up and went out for a walk. It was cold this February in Texas. I went out to get some fresh air and to listen for God's voice in creation too. And while I was walking out on the grounds, I came upon this statue. I stopped and stared. It looked like Psalm 131. Maybe you've thought of this before, but to me it felt like an epiphany. At some point in his life, Jesus was a weaned child, and surely sometimes he sat quietly in his mother's lap. There are so many paintings of baby Jesus in his mother's arms, but this statue, Jesus looks like a young child here, maybe 4 or 5, and he is sitting contentedly in his mother's lap. Never before had I put together one of my favorite psalms with the child Jesus in Mother Mary's lap. It gave me such delight and encouragement to think of young Jesus modeling that quiet trust. And then later I thought of Jesus' invitation, "Come to me and rest." And then I wondered if anyone else had put together that invitation to rest with Psalm 131. And sure enough, at least one commentary did connect "My heart is not proud" from Psalm 131 with Jesus' words, "I am gentle and humble in heart." Jesus teaches and models that posture of humility and contentment. For though he was in very nature God, Jesus took on the nature of a servant. He humbled himself when he came from heaven to earth as a human baby, a child who sat in his mother's lap. Throughout his life, Jesus was not haughty, nor did he strive after vain things. He often sought quiet communion with his Father in heaven, and he taught us to become like little children. And finally, Jesus was obedient to his heavenly Father and went to the cross for our sake because he put his trust in God. He died so that we can live again, restoring us to that trusting relationship with God. Because of Jesus Christ, we do have hope in the Lord. As Psalm 131 says, both now and forevermore. And today we can hear the voice of Jesus say, "Come to me and rest. Learn from me. Spend time with me. And you will find rest for your souls." Oh Lord, do we need rest? Rest from stress. Rest in God. Rest to refresh us so that we can face each new day again. This is a lifelong journey for each of us, to learn to rest and be refreshed, to sit with the Lord, who can be like a mother with a weaned child, to meet God the Father, whom Jesus often met in the wilderness, in the night, in the quiet. Spiritual direction may not be for everyone, but I do hope that you find meaningful time with God. We do that on Sunday mornings, and it's beautiful and good to sing and pray and listen with God's people here. And I encourage you to also find opportunities throughout the week to set apart space and time to be quiet with God. It may be harder than it sounds. There is so much noise around us, so many distractions around us and within us, swarming our minds like those gnats. Yet remember that the Lord invites you into that mother's love, into the Father's rest. And so today I'd like to try something a little different. I want to end today's message by inviting you all into silence, to practice listening for God's voice, to respond to the invitation of Jesus to come to him and find rest for your souls. In the morning and evening prayers during our residency with my cohort, we usually spent about 15 minutes in silence, often in 5-minute segments. Now, I understand that many of us are not practiced in silence. So together, we'll try for just 3 minutes of silent meditation, listening, resting in God. It might help you to pay attention to your breath. You might want to hold your hands open. I will use the familiar verse from Psalm 46 and read it slowly to lead you into the 3-minute silence. Then after 3 minutes, I will read it again to end the silence. And finally, we will sing the refrain 2 times. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Be. Be still. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I am God.